You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by manscaped.com. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. I'm delighted to welcome back the brilliant Adrian Clark. How you doing, mate? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be back, Harry. Yeah, all good. Well, sort of. Yeah, I mean, it was good. It was good to see Arsenal back in action, wasn't it? But the game didn't quite pan out in the way that we hoped or had imagined before the game, but I'm sure we'll cover that plenty across the next half an hour or so.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And there's lots of people already in the live chat, so a big hello to every single one of you. There's a lot of faith in you tonight, Adrian. Before
right.
We've even started, Dennis says, I hope Adrian can help us see things a bit more positive. Brilliant stuff.
Well, I'll try. Yeah, it's look, I'm like everybody else. You can see the faults and you can see what you want to happen. But actually, you know, it's easy for us to talk about, you know, what's going wrong and how to fix it. But implementing these things when you're in amongst it is easier said than done. But I've still got faith that the manager will get to the bottom of it, because, there are certainly issues to fix.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It was a 0-0 draw at Elland Road. Quite honestly, though, I thought that we were a little bit lucky, actually, that we didn't concede a goal on the night. We saw Mikel Arteta make some changes to the side. A lot of Arsenal fans had been calling to see Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang back through the middle. They wanted to see that midfield to attack kind of link, and Joe Willock was that player yesterday. First of all, were you pleased to see Mikel sort of change it up a little bit? Did you think pre-game that it was the right thing to do? Because I think most Arsenal fans didn't really have any complaints at the start.
No, I didn't at all. No, I was excited to see something different. And it was just a shame we only got to see it for 50 minutes. Because look, well, you can't judge one system, one set of changes on 50 minutes. Certainly not against a team like Leeds, who can cause you a lot of problems and who traditionally tire the longer games go on. So I wouldn't be too downbeat on the changes at all. It was a shame that Joe Willock didn't grab the opportunity with a barnstorming hour or whatever he got. You'd have liked to have seen him replicate what he's delivered in the Europa League, but it's not easy. It's not easy when you know when your team around you aren't firing on all cylinders. So I felt a little bit sorry for him. Although I still feel maybe in a three coming from deep as a box to box guy, it would have been slightly preferable, certainly in hindsight, because Leeds emptied our midfield really quite cleverly at times. Over down the middle, we all wanted to see it, and we've got to just stick with it, I think, and just hope that the play, that he himself just readjust to the new position, and that the guys around him can find the right kind of ammunition. I think Saka and what happens with the injury, obviously I haven't heard anything. I'm not sure if you've heard anything, Harry, but you know, you just hope and pray that Bukayo Saka's okay, because you'd certainly want him on the left wing if ideally if Aubameyang's down the middle.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about Pepe. Obviously he's been speaking in the media quite a bit about wanting more opportunities, that he's been a little bit frustrated. That was kind of the message that came across from Nicolas Pepe. He was given his chance to do it at Leeds on Sunday. But obviously, a moment of madness has seen Arsenal go down to 10 men. You touched on it. You know, we could only see the changes for 50-odd minutes or so because that sending off hindered us. But, I mean, Adrian, you've been on the pitch. You've been a pro. These moments of madness, I mean, you can't legislate for it as a manager. But I mean, it was silly, wasn't it, from Nicolas Pepe to just get sucked in like that?
Oh no, absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, everything that he's been described as is true. You can't defend what Nicolas Pepe did. Mikel Arteta didn't try and defend him, and Nicola himself has come out and apologized. It's one of those red mist moments. He was obviously being wound up by Alioski. and decided to sort of, have a word, but he chose the wrong way to go about it, didn't he? I mean, these days, with VAR especially, you cannot get away with it. You can't put your head on another player. You just can't do it. We know that the contact was minuscule. We know that Alioski made a meal of it, but it doesn't matter. He deserved to get the red card. So, yeah, he wasted a golden opportunity. And, of course, 3-game ban. You know, that's going to really hurt Arsenal in key games. You know, we've got Wolves and Spurs, the next two. We could have done with Nicola Pepe's ability to pull a rabbit out of the hat in those games. You know, two teams that are defending pretty well at the moment. So, yeah, he let the team down, let himself down. And all you can hope is that he's learned from it and that it will never happen again and that it will renew his focus moving forwards. And I'll tell you what, when he does get a chance, he might have to wait for a chance because Mikel Arteta will certainly not be happy with him. When he gets a chance again, he better play well. Otherwise, he could find himself on the periphery for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And when I play, it seemed like the manager was a little bit iffy about him anyway. And for something like this to happen, it only kind of reinforces that doubt, doesn't it? And it doesn't do Pepe any favours. But you're right. Yeah. The fact that we now are going to be without him for some really key fixtures is a problem. Particularly, like you said, Saka could be out for a while. We don't know about the injury that Willian suffered at halftime that saw him come off. So we don't know what the future holds. But it's just a moment of absolute madness. Now, I want to touch on an incident that happened after the game. Kieran Tierney was obviously incensed about something. Some Arsenal fans are saying that he went over to have a go at Granit Xhaka because he was sort of sharing some niceties with Alioski. Others are saying that he was actually going towards Alioski. Either way, Granit Xhaka's taken a lot of stick about this. But for me, the fact that he was there to prevent Kieran Tierney potentially picking up a red card after the final whistle and leaving us even shorter, you know, whatever the thing was between Xhaka and Alioski is irrelevant to me. Do you think the criticism Xhaka's received is harsh?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even know that he'd received criticism. I mean, it's bonkers, in my opinion. Granit potentially saved Kieran Tierney from getting a red card after the final whistle. We don't want to be losing Kieran Tierney, that's for sure. At the moment, you know, very, very consistent in his performance levels. Look, Kieran is a fiery lad. I love his attitude. I love the fact that he cares so much. It doesn't mean that Granit Xhaka doesn't care, by the way. The fact that he wasn't angry or others weren't angry. It's just we're all different, aren't we? And exactly. And Granit was probably just being normal, shaking hands with everyone at the final whistle. You know, I was a bit like that. Sometimes you forget things that go on in the heat of a game. And you don't hold grudges. Other players really do, you know, zoom in on moments and they don't forget and they like to have their say at the end. So look, we're all made differently. I think Granit did Kieran Tierney a favour there and he should certainly not be getting any flack for that.
Yeah, completely agree. Adrian, what do you make of the overall lack of creativity in the side? You said that it's, you know, we can all sit here and we can come up with ideas and stuff. And I completely agree with you. Actually, implementing it is another task altogether. But what do you see as the issue at the moment? Because that link between the midfield and the attack is just non-existent at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It's really poor at the moment in terms of our attacking play. You know, 4 blanks out of 5. Obviously, the one that wasn't a blank was a penalty. That's not Arsenal. That's not the Arsenal that we've grown to love, is it? So it needs addressing, that's for sure. I don't think it's about systems. I really don't. Even though I think a change of system can refresh a team and can give you a new dynamic and get players into better areas. And hopefully 4-2-3-1 will do that. I don't necessarily think it's about that. I still believe it's about freedom and energy. A movement inside the final third. I still don't think we've got enough movement. I think the movement that we're producing is too predictable. You know, I want to see players crisscrossing. I want to see one player coming short, one going long. You know, for instance, if you're going to use Joe Willock behind Aubameyang, when Oba comes short to receive a pass and Willock's obviously in support of him, if he doesn't think he's going to get that ball, I want to see Joe run beyond him and offer an angle for someone to clip him in behind. Didn't really see that enough. And vice versa, I want to see Aubameyang spin into the channels, you know, I've been quite critical of Lacazette not really doing that. And I think Oba, even though Oba did okay, it wasn't easy for him. I would like to see him to you know, drag defenders where they don't want to go. And I think you could argue the same for all of the forward players at the moment. Are they dragging their markers out of position to create space for other players? No, not really. And what I did see in the first half that was more encouraging, and this is because Willock was in this position, is that more play was funneled down the middle of the pitch.
Yeah,
we were able to get the ball into the striker and he could bounce it off. We got Joe Willock on the ball in central areas. Now, if you look at the touch map of Arsenal for most of this season, the various touch maps, there's a big void in that sort of hole between the 18-yard box and, you know, the final third, somewhere in the final third centrally. That wasn't empty in this game. It, you know, Willock and Aubameyang got a lot of the ball. So that was a plus. It's just finding the chemistry. Think of the best chance that Aubameyang had in that first half. That was good. It was a turnover. Ceballos into Pepe, who comes in off his marker. So he does drag his player with him, pops it off to Willock, who sees the run of Bellerin, who's made a run off his marker. And all of a sudden, something happens. And he's able to slip Aubameyang in. And obviously, the finish wasn't great. But that is what we want to be seeing. Not once a half. We want to be seeing that 8 times a half, don't we? 10 times a half. That when we get to that level, then we'll be scoring a lot of goals. We're good enough. The players are good enough. It's just we've got into this habit of being, you know, very, very static, or too static and too structured in the way we attack.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I've seen a lot of Arsenal fans over the last couple of days sort of sitting there going, you know, this group just aren't good enough. Well, if you look at some of the other teams that are performing to a better standard than us at the moment, you could argue that we've got a more talented squad than loads of those teams. It's not necessarily about the personnel here. And we put out a little poll actually earlier on, which I'm just going to share with you guys on the screen, because lots of you have been sort of sending us messages over the last sort of 24 hours. Some of you blaming Mikel Arteta, some of you blaming the players, some of you blaming both. So I'm just going to share this on the screen for you guys to see. And we put out a poll, who is to blame for Arsenal's current struggles? Only 13.7% of you think that it's just the manager. 27.3% think it's the players. And I think the sensible majority say that it's both, 59%. Now, I'm not saying that I don't like what Mikel Arteta is doing, or that I don't want him or anything like that. But ultimately, as a manager, Adrian, you're responsible, aren't you, for the performance of the team? So,
of course you are. Yeah, and Arteta knows that he needs to get more out of his forward players. It's as simple as that. He's, you know, he's a very intelligent man. He understands football, Mikel Arteta, and he can see what we can see. But it's finding a way to balance it with the structure he wants and demands without the ball. And to allow the freedom. Now, forward players, you know, I used to be a forward player. The vast majority of forward players that I know or have known down the years, they prefer to play with freedom, really, and to not be told to do too much. You know, you don't want to be structured in the way that you go about your work. You want to be off the cuff and trust yourself to do your thing, and coaches have to trust forward players. If it's not working, they can make changes, and they often do. Forward players are, you know, often the first players to get the hook, aren't they? Or wingers, if they're not doing the business. So yeah, the players need to push themselves more. They need to certainly be more imaginative in the runs that they make. But then from Mikel's point of view, I would say, can he be more demanding? Can he push these guys and really, really drill it down and make them fully aware that what we've seen so far isn't really good enough? And, you know, need to see much more dynamism. It's literally chaos. I mean, think about Liverpool. I mean, I know that Jurgen Klopp is known for chaos football to some degree, but there's a reason. You know, there's a reason it works. Chaos inside the final third to some degree causes defenders problems. It just takes them out of their comfort zone. Mane, Jota, Salah, Firmino, they pop up all over the place. And one thing that stands out about them, always looking to make a run, always want to drive in behind, don't they? You say the same about Spurs at the moment with Son as well. Look, always looking to drive in behind other players as well towards the top of the league. So Jack Grealish, for example, you know, one of the reasons he's been so brilliant this season is he's pushing himself to really run with and without the ball. Arsenal's players, they need to do more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very static at the moment, and you know, it feels like we got to a point where defensively we've become a much more solid unit, and then we come up with problems about the kind of attack. So it's like the balance is not quite there.
The other thing is control. And I sort of, you know, touched on this in today's breakdown. When our passing wasn't good in the game, you know, very low pass accuracy, very few passes into the final third, obviously being 10 men, you know, was a factor there. We went long quite a lot in this game. I feel that we lost a bit of confidence in possession. You know, Arsenal have always been a team that can pop the ball around for fun and look to prize teams open. I think we need to start to do that again as well and to rediscover the way to break teams down with the ball, because you can't solely rely on turnovers and transitions and counters to hurt teams, because it means you've got to be really ruthless when those chances come around, because you're waiting for mistakes. And if you're waiting for a mistake against a good team, it might only happen once or twice a game. And it's very hard to score enough goals that way. In this game, we were really good on the transition. Saka had a golden chance. Wish he hadn't tried to take it around the keeper. I think he strikes that early, probably scores. Oba could have had a penalty from a counter. Saka got free a couple of times down that side. So from counters, we were good. But we've got to get more control of the ball. And I think Thomas Partey, when he comes back in, potentially alongside Danny Ceballos and Willock in a three, you know, whichever way you set it up, that would excite me to see how that works. I think that midfield unit could control the game better and to drive forward with the ball as well.
You mentioned that penalty appeal, and not a lot has been made of that actually since the game, and not enough anyway, I don't think.
No, I agree.
Now, in an ideal world, I don't want to see penalties given for that. In an ideal world, but this season we've seen tons of them given for that. So we have every right, don't we, to feel slightly aggrieved at the fact that it wasn't given.
Yeah, I made it my flashpoint in the breakdown, really, because there was nothing to analyse about Pepe's red card. It is what it is. That was a big call. And what annoys me about it, you're right, I wouldn't want it given against me, but I genuinely think it's a 50-50 subjective call. And I say that because the arm starts there and comes there. And it blocks the ball. So he's moved the arm to a position that ends up blocking the ball. I think he could have held that arm back as he gone in for the tackle and didn't. So he made himself bigger. It's a 50-50 call. I wouldn't argue if the ref went and had a look and said, you know what, it's not a pen, but he should have had a look. And it maddens me, really, that VAR made such a quick call there. It's the same as the one against Leicester, where we scored the goal and the linesman flags for offside and he's behind the keeper. He's not in front of the keeper. A little bit more time taken over that, and they see that angle. I think they rushed this decision. Before we even saw it on TV, they told Anthony Taylor that, nothing doing.
Do you think that comes from the fact that, you know, VAR as a concept is under a lot of pressure? There's a lot of criticism that seems to get thrown at it week in, week out. And one of the issues that some people have is the delays. Do you think that pressure is now having an impact on how they implement
it? It depends, and it's not fair, because one week, if people are moaning about one thing, then it seems to sway their decision-making process, doesn't it? And then people forget about that, and then they go back to how they were. It's, you know, it's all about timing. But look, we've seen infinitely softer penalties given for handball so far this season. I know that they've tweaked the rules, but this, for me, was 100% subjective. It should have been, look, this is one of those, it could be 50-50, Anthony. We think you should go and have a look at it and decide for yourself. Have the benefit of a replay and see what you think. So, it really, really irritated me, that.
Yeah, me too. I've got to be honest. Let's have a look at some of our listener questions. If you are joining us live at the moment, I can see loads of comments coming through. But guys, if you've got questions, stick them in the chat. Just put a little cue at the beginning so that I can spot those and pick those out quicker. Let's go over to our YouTube community page where we put a post earlier on. Lots of you have left your questions. Let me pick one out. Robin asks, is it time to start questioning Aubameyang as captain and maybe give the armband to someone else? Now, Aubameyang's led by example, and he does that more than being the kind of chest-beating captain that, you know, we've had of years gone by. Do you think he is the right man to be the captain based on sort of his performances since he came to the club?
You don't chop and change your captains on form. Simple as that. You don't do it. You pick a captain and you stick with them. Unless they do something that's a dereliction of duty, they do something where the manager loses respect for them or they lose their place in the team. That's what happens. You know, just because he's going through a little bit of a lean patch, you don't suddenly drag the armband off him. Not unless Pierre-Emerick himself went to Mikel Arteta and said, look, I don't feel comfortable wearing the armband, too much pressure, give it to someone else. That's different, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's a nonsense argument, really. Yes, Kieran Tierney, he's more captain material in terms of his personality. Others might spring to mind, you know, among the support base. We've made our call. Stick with it. He's still our best player. And
nobody was saying that when he scored a brace in the semi-final and the final.
He's just not on top form at the moment. And look, he's been stranded on the wing, playing for a team that hasn't really been creating. Got his chance up top. He had one half chance in the first half. And then we went down to 10 men. And basically, he had to spend the rest of the game chasing. He still had two chances in the second half. One was saved and the other almost earned a penalty. So we got him into the box three times, which is more than what we've had of late. So for me, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, at the very least. This one comes from Indigeno. He says, who would you have, Adrian, as your roaming front three? Mm.
Well, it can't be Pepe at the moment, can it? It's very difficult at the moment because none of the guys are really in top form. Willian's not in good form. We know that. Well, when he's fit, you know, I'd love to see Martinelli come back into the team. You know, Saka, Martinelli and Aubameyang would excite me as a front three. That's for sure. But look, if everyone's fit normally, I would go with Aubameyang up top. I would go with Saka on the left wing. And I would go with Pepe on the right for all his faults because he's capable of unlocking teams and winning free kicks and scoring from long distance. He's got that little bit of magic in his boots. But that can change. I think the wide positions are very much up for grabs. I'm thinking about the next game. Wolves, back three.
Yep.
Potentially no Saka. Potentially no Willian. There's definitely no Pepe. Nelson, has he grabbed his chance? He didn't really at the weekend. You know, poor set pieces, which was a shame.
Oh, that drove me absolutely
mad. Look, when you're a young player, and I don't want to dig Reece Nelson out because I do like him, but when you're a young player, you really do have to grab your moments. And when you get chances, particularly over set plays, just make sure they're right. That was really frustrating. I would consider against Wolves just mixing it up again and maybe going for front two, you know, either a 4-4-2 with a narrow midfield, you know, 4-4-2 diamond even, and get Lacazette up there with Oba and Ketia alongside Aubameyang, occupy their back three. We are at home, of course, and ask some questions. Get keep Willock in that sort of attacking midfield position, have your three in midfield. It could work okay. The problem would be out wide where the wing backs, you know, might enjoy a lot of space. But Wolves, they really play on the counter. So, look, I think we have to have an open mind for formations. I really do. I don't think we've nailed any. 3-4-3 sort of works against the big teams. I think 4-2-3-1 will work against the majority of Premier League teams, particularly ones that are weaker. But let's not rule out playing a front two. Why would we? Especially if our wide players are not in good form or injured. let's give Ober someone to play with up top.
Yeah, and you could always do something that's a little bit more fluid. For example, you could have Ober starting from the left when we're defending, but when we've got the ball, very much coming infield to join in with Lacazette, for example. So there's lots of variations and lots of different options.
Yeah, exactly. In and out of possession, we know that Arteta likes to be different. But yeah, what I wouldn't want to see is Eddie Nketiah crowbarred to the left side, for instance, like he was in the Europa League. I don't think that's going to do him that many favours. It might be the case that Ober goes back to the left because of the shortage of wide players. Personally, I would strongly consider a front two against Wolves, particularly because this is a team that have a back three. And back threes, you know, they don't like playing against two strikers.
Yeah, that's a great point. Steve asks, do you think that this attack is lacking somebody in the mould of Olivier Giroud? Would a target man help Arsenal to move up the pitch and hold the ball up?
Only if you've got runners. Only if you've got players to make those, to bounce passes into. You know, we saw Saka make those runs the other day. He's always willing, isn't he? How many other times, really? I mean, Willian and Pepe, they don't really push beyond the striker often enough. And that's where I say that Mikel Arteta, is he demanding? Is he pushing those guys to do that? Because, yeah, that's what I'm talking about with angles. It's like, stick the ball into the front man for him to hold it, whether it's Giroud or Aubameyang or Laka, whoever. They need someone to then play with. And that, I think, is at the crux of the matter. Not necessarily the fact that we don't have a target man. What I do think is a slight oversight is that in the makeup of the squad is the lack of a taller, bulkier front player. Just because sometimes you need to hoist the ball into the box, you know, play the percentage game. You know, we've seen it 1,000 times before. Late on when you're chasing something, we don't really have anyone to do it, do we? So yeah, I do feel that is a shortfall in the squad.
And if you do look at the chances that we do create and the opportunities that we do make, a lot of them tend to come from the fullbacks getting forward into those wide areas. Yeah. If you had the target man in the middle of the box, not only have you got the option of the cutback, but you've got the option of just throwing it in there as well. So
yeah, totally. Yeah, and you can play. It's easy to play a front two when you've got a target man and someone else. Yeah, look, we need to fill the box more when we get into the danger zone. When you look at some of the other teams at the moment, like Chelsea in particular, they're pretty bold when Ziyech has the ball. Ziyech, you know, they're filling the box, and we're not really doing that. But they've got Abraham, of course, who's a little bit more of a physical presence in the team at the moment. But yeah, it's frustrating. We could do with one, but I don't think that's going to solve everything. I still think to fix this, it is a mindset thing, and we need to just sort of release those forwards and trust them to do their thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Trond Andau, I hope I've said that right. Apologies if I haven't. He says, could it be an idea to play a full-strength team in the Europa League to help the team gel more? See, I'm in two minds about this because on the one hand, you want to see them pick up form. You want to see them do well. But the season is so condensed. We've seen players go down like flies. I don't know if I would personally take the risk. What's your view on it?
No, I wouldn't take the risk. Not this time. I'm up for that on occasion when the games are spread out a bit more. But look, with the injuries we're picking up at the moment, can't afford, you know, can you imagine we play Aubameyang and we play Gabriel and both get injured in the game, you know? Was it Mulder next? So the next one, I forget. They keep coming so frequently. It would be too big a risk. So now I think, and we're practically through. So I would imagine, big changes. But why not try something tactically? If you're thinking about a front two, if you're thinking about a front two for the weekend, play one. You know, you can experiment in these games. Lacazette and Nketiah could do with a confidence boosting night. Play them together and build the team from there. It's something to think about, and I think that Arteta will surely have that in his mind ahead of the game.
We've got a couple of questions coming in with regards to a couple of things that have gone on at the club. Obviously, Willian went off to Dubai and all of that stuff. And we're not going to speak about any particular player in isolation. But some of the viewers and the listeners are kind of sharing some concerns that maybe the disciplinary action is not consistent throughout the squad. For example, somebody like Matteo Guendouzi acted up, got sent out on loan, and then Willian goes and breaks a rule. I know he's explained why, but and I'm not saying that Mikel Arteta has got favourites or that Mikel Arteta is in any way sort of doing that on purpose, but looking from the outside, some people are worried about that. As an ex-player and someone who's been in a dressing room, do players look at stuff like that and think, well, why has he got away with it and I haven't?
Yeah, I think that is fair. There's always a hierarchy, though. I think you'd be foolish to think that everyone is treated as equals, because they're not, unfortunately. You try to, but life isn't like that, is it? And when you've got senior players or players that are favourites, they get the benefit of the doubt more than a younger player or more than someone that's maybe let them down in the past. It's just human nature. Although I don't know the ins and outs of it. You know, we don't know the personal circumstances with Willian either at the moment. Mikel did sort of hint at something going on there behind the scenes. All I say is that Arteta strikes me as a disciplinarian. He strikes me as someone who won't mess around. Pepe will get fined, no doubt about that. He'll suffer because of what's happened. I think behind the scenes he'll be pretty strict. Discipline was one of the big things he spoke about when he joined, and I doubt that he's lost sight of that. I really don't. But look, if players are acting up, you've got to stamp it out quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And it's about, I guess, finding that balance between upsetting those players that you think can help the team, but also maintaining that level of consistency in the way you apply the rules. And it's really hard balance to find, isn't it?
You see it all the time. Players can go to prison. You know, Tony Adams went to prison and came back a hero, didn't he? If it had been, it's a long, long time ago, and, I love Tony and whatnot, but... And, I always think players deserve a second chance, but not everyone's treated the same. If what Tony had done happened to a youth player or a resi, they might have let them go. That's football, I'm afraid. You know, everyone gets treated slightly differently depending on their importance. But Arteta, I think, will have he's only just retired. He'll have a strong feeling about what the players are feeling inside the dressing room. And that, I think, is an advantage of having a younger guy. He knows what modern players think.
Yeah, for sure. Right, just to round up then, Adrian, Wolves coming up next, and then we've got the North London derby after that. How are you feeling, regardless of what form you're in? But are you confident that Arsenal can sort of turn the form around in those couple of games and get back on track?
It's not confident with a capital C. I don't think anyone can, based on previous performances, can feel super confident. But we live in hope. I know that this is a talented group. I know that the manager is a very intelligent coach. And I trust that they will get it right eventually. The problem is, when you not scoring in four of your last five games, none in open play in the last five, Wolves are tough. Wolves are a tough nut to crack. So that's not going to be easy. And Spurs are playing, the best football we've seen from them since Pochettino almost steered them to the title. So these are really, two tough games. You just hope it brings the best out of the team. The team have risen to big challenges in the not too distant past. Played brilliantly at Manchester United. We need that level, don't we? Back. It comes down to it again. That Man United win was down to attitude for me. We squeezed up the pitch. We were really strong in our mentality. We were aggressive in everything that we did, not just winning the ball back, but in the runs we made. And that's the blueprint. We just can't lose sight of that. Thomas Partey, let's just keep everything crossed that he's fit, because he can make a big difference. I know he's only had a few games, but he can be the driving force, in my opinion, and he can help us push up the pitch and make life tougher for opposition teams. So yeah, look, who knows? But we live in hope, don't we? All I know is I'm not losing faith with the group of players. You know, they won the FA Cup not so long ago. I think we've got better players this season than last. And Mikel Arteta's learning on the job all the time. He should, in theory, be a better coach with every day that passes because, you know, he's learning all the time. So
that's key, yeah. Isn't it? A lot of people forget that this is his first job and there are going to be mistakes, just like there are from players. You know,
we all make mistakes. Exactly. Yeah, as a journalist, I didn't have any, you know, when I retired, I went into journalism. I learned on the job. I didn't have time to do training. You know, I got a job. They said, you know, this is what you got to do, and you do it. And you know, I didn't do it as well then as I've done since. You know, it's one of those situations. So yeah, Arteta will get better. I just think that the there's a lot of bile out there among the supporter base. You know, I can see it on my timeline when we did the breakdown live. You know, a lot of people unhappy with a coach, a lot of people unhappy with individual players. We've seen a lot of abuse of Nicola Pepe on social media. It's just these people need to just pipe down a little bit and support the team. If you're an Arsenal supporter, don't be so vicious about, you know, one defeat here and there or one mediocre performance. Support the team, support the players, back them. Fair enough, be critical, but there's no need for this, you know, constant poison really that's going around at the moment. It's not helpful to anybody. And the problem is that players will catch sight of some of these tweets, and it won't make them play any better. It might make them think, you know, our supporters aren't the best, and that's not true. Arsenal have got brilliant supporters, but there is a minority at the moment that are going way over the top.
A loud minority, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. They're going way over the top. We're not in crisis. But can we get better? Absolutely. We can get miles better. And hopefully over a period of time, we will. And if we don't, then you know, changes will inevitably come, you know, in terms of players. So let's get behind the boys. That's my message, really.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the role of a supporter since social media came about has become supporter / manager / coach / centre forward / centre back. And that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, honestly, a lot of the things that I see on social media, you know, you think they must be supporters of other teams, you know, because it's such negativity, such sort of scathing criticism. None of us are pleased when Arsenal don't score. None of us are pleased when we lose a game. But it doesn't mean everyone's useless. We will come good again, I promise.
Exactly. Absolutely. Adrian, thank you so much, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure having you back on the show. How can people give you a follow on social media and keep up with your great work?
Cheers, mate. Yeah, no, always a pleasure to come on. Well, on Twitter, at Adrian J. Clark. Same on Instagram. Although I'm not really going anywhere at the moment, so there's not too much not many location photos at the moment. But obviously keep a lookout for the breakdown live. And obviously the breakdown, I've just analysed the Leeds game. It's been released this evening. You can find it on the Arsenal app and on the Arsenal website.
Yep, make sure you go over and check that out. I'm going to be watching it now when we finish, and I go make myself a nice cup of coffee and sit and watch it, I think. So do check it out.
Make sure
guys.
It's decaf, Harry.
Yeah, well, do you know what? When you've got a one-year-old, you don't sleep much anyway, so it might do me a favour. Big thank you to Adrian once again. Thank you to every single one of you guys who's joined us live, or to those of you who are going to be watching or listening to this back. We really appreciate your support. Check out at 90min_football. Give them a follow as well, our new partners. So a massive thanks to them as well. And we'll be back very, very soon with more Arsenal content. Until then, take care and stay safe. Cheers.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.